In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord gives us a very sobering message in today's gospel about this unjust, this wicked servant. You know, as it says in the epistles, he loves us and he wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And yet, the Lord knows the dangers that can harm us, and so he gives us this parable to help us avoid those dangers and stay on the right track. There are two things that I think are extraordinary about this parable. One is the enormous size of the debt that the king forgives. And then the second thing is that the king forgives this wicked servant in the hope that he will repent, and even though he really does have a bad disposition. Now, whenever we hear this parable, you know, we hear about this guy that owes 10,000 talents. And I don't know about you, but I tend to instinctively think in terms of our monetary unit, the dollar. So I think about $10,000, you know. And $10,000, of course, is a respectable amount of money, but it will just about buy you a decent used car, you know, today. So that really doesn't do justice to how much the servant owed. Remember, a talent was a high-value gold coin, which in today's dollar, each talent would be worth about $350,000 in equivalent currency by today's standards. So the amount of money that this servant owed, if you do the math, is $3.5 billion. Okay, so this is a lot of money. By way of perspective, the state of Alabama, I looked this up, we have a population of nearly 5 million people. And the annual state budget is about $1.8 billion. So here this servant personally, you know, had a, I don't know if it was an unsecured debt or not, but it was a personal debt of $3.5 billion. And when he appeared before the king and he was unable to pay this great debt back, the king commands that the servant be sold. And St. Theophylact explains that God is, of course, the king, that he doesn't do this out of severity, but rather to literally put the fear of God into the servant in order to induce him to fix all his hope on entreaty and supplication. In other words, God wanted the unjust servant to repent. And at first, his strategy worked. You know, the servant fell down prostrate before him, and he begged the Lord to have patience with him and promised that he would pay everything. And God, in his extraordinary kindness and love, gave the servant far more than he asked for, the complete and absolute forgiveness of this great debt. And again, St. Theophylact adds, as this applies to us, he said, "It is we ourselves who owe 10,000 talents, you know, to God, receiving benefaction every day, yet giving back nothing good to God in return. And this is why we need to humble ourselves before God and come before him like the publican who said, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" So this is, of course, how we can be justified before God. Because if you remember in the parable of the publican and the Pharisee justified himself. He said, "I'm a good person. I tithe and fast twice a week and all this stuff. And good thing I'm not like this horrible publican over here who's a terrible sinner." And God, you know, of course, says it's the publican that was justified because he was repentant. Now, when we hear today about somebody who is pardoned for some crime, it's usually because there's some kind of new DNA evidence that showed that actually this guy was not, you know, guilty of the crime. It turns out, after all, he was innocent, and this other person was guilty. And so this is real easy to understand when we hear about somebody getting pardoned and, you know, makes everything right. But this gospel shows clearly what sort of person this wicked servant really was. Having just received complete forgiveness of this big debt, it's almost as if his life was suddenly restored to him, because he was facing just spending the rest of his life in debtor's prison or being sold into slavery. And yet, his heart was as hard and cold as a stone. Now, his fellow servant owed him 100, well, it says in this gospel passage, 100 pence, but the denomination of money was denarii, or denarius. So he owed him 100 denarii. And a denarii was the equivalent of one day's pay for a common laborer, which in today's currency would equal about $72.50. So 100 denarii would be worth just a little over $7,200. Now, that's not an insignificant amount of money, but compared to $3.5 billion, it's barely a drop in the bucket. And so this unjust servant didn't just ask his fellow servant you know, if, could he please work out some financing options so that he could pay off his debt? But as the gospel said, he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And now we see that he's deservedly called the unjust servant. And when his fellow servant says exactly the same thing, he said to the king, have patience with me and I will pay you all. The unjust servant refused to grant him any more time and instead had him thrown into prison. So here we see the unjust servant's true colors. And yet the Lord was willing to do everything possible to awaken his conscience. But after hearing of this, he has the wicked servant brought before him and was angry with him and reminded him of the kindness that he had been shown and asked him why he didn't show some of that kindness to his fellow servant. Then the Lord has him delivered to the tormentors until he should pay all his debt. Well, this reminded me, if anyone's ever read the novel by Dostoevsky called The Brothers Karamazov, there was a Russian folktale that is very, it just struck me as very appropriate to this particular parable. And that's very short. So, children, once upon a time, there was a peasant woman, and a very wicked woman she was, and she died, and then she died and did not leave a single good deed behind. And the devils caught her and plunged her into the lake of fire. So her guardian angel stood and wondered what good deed of hers he could remember to tell God. Well, she once pulled up an onion in her garden, said he, and gave it to a beggar woman. And God answered, you take that onion then, and hold it out to her in the lake, and let her take hold and be pulled out. And if you can pull her out of the lake, let her come to paradise. But if the onion breaks, then the woman must stay where she is. So the angel ran to the woman and held out the onion to her. Come, he said, catch hold and I'll pull you out. He began cautiously pulling her out. And he had just pulled her right out when the other sinners in the lake, seeing how she was being drawn out, began catching hold of her so as to be pulled out along with her. But she was a very wicked woman, and she began kicking them. I'm to be pulled out, not you. It's my onion, not yours. And as soon as she said that, the onion broke. And the woman fell into the lake, and she's burning there to this day. And so the angel wept and went away. So this is, you know, an old Russian folk tale that Dostoevsky heard and included in his novel. But it's kind of like a parable in itself, really. So brothers and sisters, let us be compassionate and merciful to one another as God is to us, so that he will forgive us and welcome us into paradise one day. Glory be to our God. Amen.